The buggers were real. The threat was real. The IF controlled a lot of things, but it didn't control the videos and the nets. Not where Ender had grown up. In Dink's home in the Netherlands, with three generations under Russian hegemony, perhaps it was all controlled. But Ender knew that lies could not last long in America, so he believed. Believed. But the seed of doubt was there, and it stayed. And every now and then sent out a little root. It changed everything to have that seed growing. It made Ender listen more carefully to what people meant instead of what they said. It made him wise. There weren't as many boys at the evening practice, not by half. "Where's Bernard?" asked Ender. Ali grinned. Shen closed his eyes and assumed a look of blissful meditation. "Haven't you heard?" said another boy, a launchee from a younger group. "Word's out that any launchee who comes to your practice sessions won't ever amount to anything in anybody's army. Word's out that the commanders don't want any soldiers who've been damaged by your training." Ender nodded. "But the way I brain it," said the launchee, "I be the best soldier I can, and any commander worth a damn he'd take me, nay?" "Eh," said Ender, with finality. They went on with practice. About a half hour into it, when they were practicing throwing off collisions with frozen soldiers, several commanders in different uniforms came in. They ostentatiously took down names. "Hey," shouted Ali, "make sure you spell my name right." The next night, there were even fewer boys. Now Ender was hearing the stories. Little launchies getting slapped around in the bathrooms, or having accidents in the mess hall and the game room, or getting their files trashed by older boys who had broken the primitive security system that guarded the launchies' desks. "No practice tonight," Ender said. "The hell there's not," said Ali. "Give it a few days. I don't want any of the little kids getting hurt. If you stop, even one night, they'll figure it works to do this kind of thing, just like if you'd ever back down to Bernard back when he was being a swine." "Besides," said Shen, "we aren't scared and we don't care, so you owe it to us to go on. We need the practice and so do you." Ender remembered what Dink had said. The game was trivial compared to the whole world. Why should anyone give every night of his life to this stupid, stupid game? "We don't accomplish that much anyway," Ender said. He started to leave. Ali stopped him. "They scare you too? They slap you up in the bathroom? Stick your head in the pissa? Somebody gots a gun up you bung?" "No," Ender said. "You still my friend?" asked Ali, more quietly. "Yes." "Then I still you friend, Ender, and I stay here and practice with you." The older boys came again, but fewer of them were commanders. Most were members of a couple of armies. Ender recognized salamander uniforms, even a couple of rats. They didn't take names this time. Instead, they mocked and shouted and ridiculed as the launchees tried to master difficult skills with untrained muscles. It began to get to a few of the boys. "Listen to them," Ender said to the other boys. "Remember the words. If you ever want to make your enemy crazy, shout that kind of stuff at them. It makes them do dumb things to be mad. But we don't get mad." Shen took the idea to heart, and after each jibe from the older boys, he had a group of four launchees recite the words loudly 5 or 6 times. When they started singing the taunts like nursery rhymes, some of the older boys launched themselves from the wall and came out for a fight. The flash suits were designed for wars fought with harmless light. They offered little protection and seriously hampered movement if it came to hand-to-hand fighting in Nullo. Half of the boys were flashed anyway and couldn't fight, but the stiffness of their suits made them potentially useful. Ender quickly ordered his launchees to gather in one corner of the room. The older boys laughed at them even more, and some who had waited by the wall came forward to join in the attack, seeing Ender's group in retreat. Ender and Ali decided to throw a frozen soldier in the face of an enemy. The frozen launchee struck helmet first, and the two caromed off each other. The older boy clutched his chest where the helmet had hit him and screamed in pain. The mockery was over. The rest of the older boys launched themselves to enter the battle. Ender didn't really have much hope of any of the boys getting away without some injury. But the enemy was coming haphazardly, uncoordinatedly. They had never worked together before, while Ender's little practice army, though there were only a dozen of them now, knew each other well and knew how to work together. "Go Nova!" shouted Ender. The other boys laughed. They gathered into three groups, feet together, squatting, holding hands so they formed small stars against the back wall. "We'll go around them and make for the door. Now!" At his signal, the three stars burst apart, each boy launching in a different direction, but angled so he could rebound off a wall and head for the door. Since all of the enemy were in the middle of the room, where course changes were far more difficult, it was an easy maneuver to carry out. Ender had positioned himself so that when he launched, he would rendezvous with the frozen soldier he had just used as a missile. The boy wasn't frozen now, and he let Ender catch him, whirl him around, and send him toward the door. Unfortunately, the necessary result of the action was for Ender to head in the opposite direction and at a reduced speed. Alone of all his soldiers, he was drifting fairly slowly, and at the end of the battle room where the older boys were gathered. He shifted himself so he could see that all his soldiers were safely gathered at the far wall. In the meantime, the furious and disorganized army had just spotted him. Ender calculated how soon he would reach the wall so he could launch again, not soon enough. Several enemies had already rebounded toward him. Ender was startled to see Stilson's face among them. Then he shuddered and realized he had been wrong. Still, it was the same situation, and this time they wouldn't sit still for a single combat settlement. There was no leader, as far as Ender knew, and these boys were a lot bigger than him. Still, he had learned some things about weight shifting in personal combat class and about the physics of moving objects. Game battles almost never got to hand-to-hand combat. You never bumped into an enemy that wasn't frozen unless you were frozen yourself. So, in the few seconds he had, Ender tried to position himself to receive his guests. Fortunately, they knew as little about Nullo fighting as he did, and the few who tried to punch him found that throwing a punch was pretty ineffective when their bodies moved backward just as quickly as their fists moved forward. But there were some in the group who had bone-breaking on their minds, as Ender quickly saw. He didn't plan to be there for it, though. He caught one of the punchers by the arm and threw him as hard as he could. It hurled Ender out of the way of the rest of the first onslaught, though he still wasn't getting any closer to the door. "Stay there," he shouted at his friends, who obviously were forming up to come and rescue him. "Just stay there." Someone caught Ender by the foot. The tight grip gave Ender some leverage. He was able to stamp firmly on the other boy's ear and shoulder, making him cry out and let go. If the boy had let go just as Ender kicked downward, it would have hurt him much less and allowed Ender to use the maneuver as a launch. Instead, the boy had hung on too well. His ear was torn and scattering blood in the air, and Ender was drifting even more slowly. "I'm doing it again," thought Ender. "I'm hurting people again just to save myself. Why don't they leave me alone so I don't have to hurt them?" Three more boys were converging on him now, and this time they were acting together. Still, they had to grab him before they could hurt him. Ender positioned himself quickly so that two of them would take his feet, leaving his hands free to deal with the third. Sure enough, they took the bait. Ender grasped the shoulders of the third boy's shirt and pulled him up sharply, butting him in the face with his helmet. Again a scream and a shower of blood. The two boys who had his legs were wrenching at them, twisting him. Ender threw the boy with the bleeding nose at one of them. They entangled, and Ender's leg came free. It was a simple matter then to use the other boy's hold for leverage, to kick him firmly in the groin, then shove off him in the direction of the door. He didn't get that good a launch, so that his speed was nothing special, but it didn't matter. No one was following him. He got to his friends at the door. They caught him and handed him along to the door. They were laughing and slapping him playfully. "You bad," they say. "You scary. You flame." "Practice is over for the day," Ender said. "They'll be back tomorrow," said Shen. "Won't do them any good," said Ender. "If they come without suits, we'll do this again. If they come with suits, we can flash them." "Besides," said Alai, "the teachers won't let it happen." Ender remembered what Dink had told him and wondered if Alai was right. "Hey, Ender," shouted one of the older boys as Ender left the battle room. "You nothing, man. You be nothing." "My old commander, Bonzo," said Ender. "I think he doesn't like me." Ender checked the rosters on his desk that night. Four boys turned up on the medical report, one with bruised ribs, one with a bruised testicle, one with a torn ear, and one with a broken nose and a loose tooth. The cause of injury was the same in all cases: accidental collision in Null G.